Okay, my friends, this week's parasha speaks a lot about death. And hope you don't get too excited about that. But at the same time, it's a reality. It's something that we have to address. So one of the things it speaks about is Misas Miriam. We speak about Misas Miriam, and it says over here, the Gemara in Baba Basra says, six people, lo yishalta behen malach hamoves. So I'm going to say a chiddush on what that means, lo yishalta behen malach hamoves. The Gemara says, who are those six people? Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Miriam. That's it. Just those six. No more than that. It's interesting, Miriam is the only woman that was lo yishalta behen malach hamoves. And the Gemara says, what's the pshat? The Gemara says, because it says, al pi Hashem. At least by Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, it says al pi Hashem. Gemara says, it doesn't say al pi Hashem by Miriam. It doesn't say that she was meis al pi Hashem. Al pi Hashem means that they died with, through Hashem's mouth, which we would call misas neshika. Misas neshika means that they were kissed by Hashem and they died. Malach hamoves wasn't necessarily involved. Says the Gemara, so Iba Miriam, it doesn't say Api Hashem. The Gemara says Miriam has also died by Mises Neshika. But to say Ki'ilu Hashem kissed Miriam wouldn't be appropriate in the Pasuk. So therefore, it doesn't mention it, but she also died that same way. It seems like Miriam did not die through the Malach HaMavis. Now, the interesting thing is as follows. Immediately after Miriam died, Klai Yisrael has no water. Now, we know that the water was there, B'schus, the Be'er was B'schus Miriam. But there's another remez the Rishonim say, which is that when someone dies, you're supposed to spill out water. I don't know if you know that. If there's any water that you have, you're supposed to spill out the water. So that's why right after Miriam died, there's no more water. What happened to all the water? They spilled it out. So that's a remez here to this idea the Shach brings down, this halacha that you're supposed to spill out the water. And he says two different reasons from the Kolboy. Why do we spill out water when someone dies? First reason is because, and this is important for you to know, we don't like sharing bad news. You don't like to be the bearer of bad news. So we love to do it in a way, the Gemara even talks about how to share bad news, in a way when you're not going to actually say something bad. So one way is, if you just spill out water, everyone's like, why is everyone spilling out? Uh-oh. So therefore, it's self-understood when the water is spilled out that someone died, and I don't have to tell anyone about that because they can figure it out just from that. That's one reason. The other reason why we split the water is as follows. Because the Malach HaMavis, after he's done his dastardly deed, so he's got the blood of the Dam HaMisa on his sword. He's got a sword, the Malach HaMavis. And he dips his sword in the water. So the water is now tinged with some of the Dam of the Malach HaMavis. You don't want to drink that. So therefore, you spill out the water. Those are the two different reasons why we spilled the water. I think there might be a nafkamina as follows. How much water do you have to spill out?
What water are we talking about here?
Drinking water. Thank you for asking. Drinking water.
Bottle also water?
What?
Bottle?
So I think it's only uncovered water.
Whatever you have, that's uncovered.
So do you have to spill out all of your uncovered water, any water that you have, or maybe only a revius of water? I think it depends on your two reasons. If it's because you're afraid the Malach HaMavis dipped his sword in the water, then how much do you have to spill out?
Everything.
Everything's contaminated. But if it's just you want to make a simen, all of a sudden everyone spills out a revius of water. I think that's already a simen, right? Everyone spilled a revius of water. Like, what are you spilling the water for? It's good water. He's spilling. Then people are going to realize maybe it'll be enough to do a revius. Not sure, that could perhaps be an afghan. But the shaila is as follows, my friends. Let's ask Astira. How did Miriam HaNeviah die? Anyone remember? Api Hashem. If she died Api Hashem, so was the Malach HaMavis involved? L'chayra not. So by Miriam, did they have to spill out their water? L'chayra not. So how could we say the reason why they didn't have water after Miriam died is because everyone spilled out their water, but Miriam died Api Hashem.
Still bad news.
So if the reason I was bad news, then you're right. So then everyone would spill out the water. But if the reason is I'll the fact that that there's the Malach HaMavis here, you wouldn't. And the nafkamina would be, you don't have to spill the revius. It sounds like they had no more water left. Why do they have no water left? It sounds like they spilled it all out. That's why I did that nafkamina there, right? So why they spill it all out? If after all, Miriam died al pi Hashem, that's the question. Itzar Polis HaTorah asked this question. And he says one teretz, and I'm like, I'd like to share with you a second. His teretz is a nice teretz. He says, and he also says, I found it in the Sefer Ponim Yafis. He says the following thing, listen. A quiz. Did Sarah die al pi Hashem? Sarah Imenu. Did Rivka die al pi Hashem? Did Rachel die al pi Hashem? Okay. Klal Yisrael now hears that Miriam Hanaviyah dies. Do they know that she died al pi Hashem? Do they know that for a fact? They don't necessarily know she died al pi Hashem. As far as they're concerned, do they know she's greater than Sarah, Rivka, or Rachel? Do they know that? That they know that she died al pi Hashem? They're not sure. So you hear Miriam died. What do you have to do just in order to, as necessary precaution? What do you have to do? Spill the water. Ein hachanami, maybe. It could be that it wasn't necessary because she taka died al pi Hashem, but they don't know that. What? Right? Again, I don't understand the question.
The riot is the well dried up. And it's
we're not saying the well dried up. We're saying the fact they don't have anything to drink. Why didn't they have canteens? The well dried up, so that's another reason why they don't have to drink. But why didn't they have any, they didn't have any water in their reservoir? Because they spilled out all the water in the reservoir. There's no more well. They're like, we're totally empty. How'd they get totally empty so fast? The answer is they spilled out all their water. Why'd they spill out all their water? Must be because they were afraid to drink from it. Why they're afraid to drink it? Shaddai al-Pi Hashem. The answer is maybe they didn't know Shaddai al-Pi Hashem. So says the Panim Yafis. I would like to perhaps suggest a different teretz. Based on what we're going to see now, an interesting thing. We're going to discuss what is the idea in the beginning of this week's parasha. Zois chukas ha-toira adam ki yamas ba'oyel. Anytime a person dies, he becomes tamei meis. How does tumas meis happen? How does what brings about tumas meis? So machloikes seems to be rishonim. The Ramban says that the way it dies is because it becomes from ityoy shel nachash, which means that the malach hamavis has a little bit left of the poison of the malach of the nachash that he uses to kill people, and that causes tumas meis. Reb Chaim Vital explains it as follows. He says, how does the malach hamavis kill? We know he has a sword, but how does he kill? He doesn't actually chop someone's head off. Because, I mean, the Gemara actually says if he would, but it would be pretty gory. You don't want everyone to lose, like, it would be like someone dies, all of a sudden his head, like, falls off. That's what would happen. But he doesn't do that to Miles. So what does he do? Says the Gemara does the following thing. He appears, and he's big, scary. Does anyone know what he looks like? We spoke about in Shemir Sinayim Vad. He's Kuloi Einayim. It's just eyes. Wah! And the person sees him and goes, ah! Like that. He opens his mouth, and he drops three drops of this Morish Shchori in his mouth, and that's full of Tumah, and that Tumah is there inside of him, and the Tumah is banging around inside, and his Neshama can't coexist with the Tumah. So what does the Neshama do? It leaves. The Neshama leaves. So how does a person get Tumah? The Tumah comes, says Reb Chaim Vital, before he dies. Listen to this Pele. What happens is, again, he gets nervous. Rabbi Yisai, try to keep your mouth shut. Yeah, exactly. Gets nervous. He goes, wah! And the Malach HaMavis throws three drops of this Mara Shchora, this Tipa Shchora, this venom, this Tumah inside of him. The Tumah's banging around inside. His Neshama can't take it. His Neshama runs out. And what remains there afterwards? What remains afterwards is the Tumah. Yeah, he says that's why the pshat is tzadikim einam netamim, because the tzadik dies b'misas neshika, and when you die b'misas neshika, you never got those drops. You didn't get those drops because you died b'misas neshika. That's what he says. And therefore, a tzadik is not metameh. That's going to be a whole discussion. We'll see if we have time. How much to get to it? Is a tzadik metameh? Is a tzadik not metameh? It's not so simple. A tzadik's not metameh. I mean, after all, we are careful about going to the kvarim even of tzaddikim, even of people that we know died b'misas neshika, and I'll show you in a second. But for example, as follows, There's a story, I think it's in the book Off of the Boss, if I'm not mistaken. Ruchama Shane, I know for sure I heard the story from her, but I think it's also in one of the books, that she has a nephew who is a tour guide. And listen to this crazy thing. See, there was a holy, holy Jew by the name of Choni Amagel. I'm sure you all heard of him. Choni Amagel, we know where his kever is up north. And if you go there, it's a very low ceiling. The kever is a very low ceiling. So they had hired some Arab workers to try to like carve out the rock on the top of the ceiling to make more space, that it shouldn't be so low. So her uncle was a tour guide, Chamashain. She told me this story. And they hired the Arabs, and there was no one there who was the project manager. And the Arabs decided, you know, instead of like, you know, it's impossible to break through a rock, it's in a cave, let's just dig out. They won't know the difference, as long as there's like space, right? Halal. So instead of taking care of the top, he was chakak bokidei la shlima la asara. So he tried doing. And her nephew heard about this because there was a tourist who was there and saw it was like this is the thing, and he came running to Choni Amagel to stop them because you're digging into his grave. And he said he got there, and the Arabs were in a state of fright. You could see this story written down in the book, and they were screaming. And he went into the kever, and he said the kever is a cave. The cave was full of light, and the leg of Choni Amagel was exposed. In other words, they dug so deep that they actually exposed his leg. And when they exposed his leg, the entire cave was full of light. This is a story from 40 years ago. And he came in, he covered up the leg, and the cave went dark. This is a story that, because the tzaddik, even after he dies, and Choni Amagel died hundreds of years ago, but he didn't decompose, because the tzaddik, his guf somehow stays shalom, he's not metameh. It's Yadur that they said the same about the Noam Elimelech. The Noam Elimelech was also dug up, and his said that his beard was still wet, from the Tahara. His cheeks were still rosy. The Vilna Gaon was dug up, Ki Yadua. There was 10 people there, they all died that year. They looked at the Vilna Gaon. One of them didn't. I happen to know a grandson of one of the people that was in Vilna there and didn't look. All the people looked. The people had to move the Vilna Gaon from one base of Kvaros. They were doing construction, so they had to move the Vilna Gaon. I know the grandson of one of those people. They all died except for one. One person, he didn't look at the Vilna Gaon and he didn't die. Anyway, so these tzaddikim are not metame, because tzaddikim are like at a different level. So what's the reason? Because they died remisas neshika. They didn't get the tumah of the malach hamavis put into their mouth. Yeah.
Regardless, even if they didn't get the tumah, doesn't when the person dies, all fluids leave their body? Aren't there fluids in the person's body that are tummy to begin with? From them being
tummy? I don't know exactly medically how that works. If all fluids leave the body, I don't know. I can't tell you. I don't know. It's an interesting question.
Why is non-decomposed? Why does that make non-tumah?
So you have to know how the tumah works exactly. It doesn't necessarily mean that. It might depend on the next reason also of why, of the other reason for tumah. But what we're saying is that the tumah comes from the malach hamavis putting the tumah inside of you. They never got that. The dad misses neshika. So I'm just saying the fact that they don't decompose shows that their misa is a different type of misa. And that's why some people, so there are some kayanim that will go into a kever. There are some kayanim that will do that. It's very controversial. Okay? It starts as follows. Okay? Well, we could get into it right now if you want. It starts as follows. The Arizal, it says in Sefer HaGilgulim, it's brought down over here on the bottom, the Arizal has a Talmud named Rabbi Yitzchok HaKoyen. And the Rebbe Yitzchak HaKohen was there in the room, and the Arizal told him, you have to leave. All the Talmidim were around. He told him, you have to leave. He said, I'm about to die. You can't be here. You have to go out. So what do we see? The Arizal told his Talmud to go out of the room. What does it appear? The Arizal holds that even Mises Tzadik is Metamet. Because he told his Talmud to go out of the room. On the other hand, hold on, before you answer. On the other hand, the Arizal sent Rabbi Yitzchok HaKoyin, the same person, to go to the kever of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi, I don't know if, who of you have been there with me to Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi. The Ariza held very, very highly of the Kever Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi. He told us to go there because there's giluyim in different pshatim and different sugyas that you're going to get when you Rabbi Yitzchak HaKohen is to go to Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi. How could Rabbi Yitzchak HaKohen go to Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi if Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi was dead and he's being metameh? This is a stira in the Ariza. He's telling Rabbi Yitzchak, you can't be here when I die, but Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi can go to. What's the pshat? Oh, so the chayr, it's not such a steer, because maybe he wasn't willing to say about himself, you can stay here, don't worry about it, I'm good, I mean, this is all okay. Maybe, al tamin ba'atzmecha, ad yoy moyscha, you shouldn't believe in yourself until the day that you die. He didn't believe in himself. Even though it says, ad yoy moyscha, maybe be yoy moyscha, he should believe in himself. But some of that Rizal knew if he was having Mises Nashika or not. It's a different type of Misa. But anyway, it's an interesting thing, yeah. Yeah, but Al-Tamin Ba'atzmacha. Al-Tamin Ba'atzmacha. Don't believe in yourself. So, yeah, in a Chanami. Yeah, good, good. There's another interesting thing. Listen to this. The Gemara in Baba Basra and Afnun Ches. The Gemara says the following thing. The Gemara says that there was an Amoira. His name was Rabbanah. Rabbanah used to be Mitzayim Kvarim, which means that he would put up, whenever there was a Kever, he would make sure there was a marker there. Why do you need a marker by a Kever? Why is it necessary? Why? Tuma. You don't want people to be mitzayim. He was busy, very busy, making sure every kever had a marker because of Tuma. So one of the kvarim that he went to put a demarcation on was Marasa Machpelah, says the Gemara. Shtel Tzuch Lakasha. Marasa Machpelah. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, they all died by Mises and Ashika. So then the Chayra should be mitana. The answer is maybe Esav. Esav is buried there also. So maybe Mikoyach Esav's head was buried there. Shana, is the head enough to be Metame Tumas Mace? It's only his head. Not the rest of his body. It was his entire head. Maybe it's only his eyes. Would it maybe Sarah? Maybe Sarah didn't die when he says Nashika, but she was a Tzadekis. Would that be enough? And she'd be Metame, not be Metame. What are you, Taina? The Emois. Yeah. Yeah. You have to know who died. Yeah, it doesn't say they died when he says Nashika. Al Koponim, this is still something that is somewhat debatable whether or not the kever of a tzaddik is metameh. And basically, I think that the bottom line is if a person has a mesorah in his family that he's metameh, he could go. There are koyanim that go to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. There are koyanim that do that. There are koyanim that go to other kivrei tzaddikim. To the Naim Eli Melech and others, but there's a lot of people that don't. So a person should stick with whatever his Messiah is, and he shouldn't do otherwise. Al Koponim, the Rachaim HaKadosh says there's a different reason why a person Tumah comes. Where does Tumah come from? He says somewhere else. Says the Rachaim HaKadosh, I'll tell you where Tumah is from. And he starts over the following Dvar Torah. Why does the Pasuk start Zois Chukas HaTorah? It should be Zois Chukas HaTumah. This is the laws of the Torah. This is the laws of the Tumah. This is the laws of the Tahara. Someone dies, and we discuss, right? Why are we calling this Chukas HaTorah? Says the Rechaim HaKadosh, I'll tell you. Do you know why a person becomes Tameh? A person becomes Tameh because he has Torah inside of him. And when he dies, and then the Torah leaves, so then he leaves this void. There's a void there. And then the Tumah comes after it. It's because of his Torah that he has Tumah. Says the Rechaim HaKadosh, what about a guy? A guy is not metame be'oil. Why not? Because guy has no Torah. Guy didn't leave a void when he died. But by us, it leaves a void. He says, Mashalamah davar doyme. You have a person has a pail. One pail he keeps garbage. It's a garbage pail. The other pail he keeps honey. If he empties both pails and puts them outside, all of the flies are all going to gather around the honey. They're going to try to lick whatever honey is left. Because over there, there's something for them to get. They're going to try to like lick off the last pieces. Same thing over here. A guy, there's no, the klipas are not after. The koyach hatumah is not after. There's nothing there in the first place. But by a year, there's something that's left. I guess the neshama kind of like leaves over in the guf something. And therefore, he's after that. What about tzaddikim? Apparently, tzaddikim, their relationship with their guf is different. I don't know exactly how to describe it, but it would seem that maybe tzaddikim, like we said, their guf, stays whole, so it's not decomposing. It's not like, it's not empty of the chiyus. The chiyus is still there, therefore it's not matama. The same way we're not matama when we're alive, a tzaddik, even after he's dead, is still alive. So therefore it's not, there's no, the klipas can't get to it, I guess. Akol ponim, it could be that an afkamina between these two pshatim, we have two pshatim, just to go back. There's two pshatim. The first pshat is the tumah comes from the malach hamoves. He's dropping those drops inside of the, when the person opens his mouth. The other pshat is that whenever there's a void, so then the Yetzirah comes, the klipas come, koich of tumah comes, that's where it is. So you have to know exactly what is the nature of tumah. It seems to be a machlokes, we're not going to get into all the details, but a machlokes is whether tumah is an absence, it's a void, it's an emptiness, or is tumah a thing? Is tumah a thing, or is it just that we're lacking something? It's like we're missing. What is tumah? What is the color white, and what is the color black? What's the color white? What is white? What? What is black?
Black of color.
Black is the absence of color. So is tumah the absence of color? Is that what it is? Is it the absence of kedusha, or is tumah itself? It's a zach. If you say like the Ramban that the Malach HaMoves drops some tumah into your body, and the tumah is in there, and then your neshama goes down, and it remains with its tumah. Tumah is a zach. It's a heftza. But if you say like the Ramban, there's a void that's left because the neshama is not there, and the klip is kind of like fill the void, so it's more of a void than it is otherwise. That has to do with the sugyas. We're not going to get into that right now. But I want to say that another nafkamina that Avnei Nezer brings up is what happens if a person dies by accident. What do I mean? A normal person usually dies by natural causes. When he dies by natural causes, it's the Malach HaMoves that's killing him. But says the Avnei Nezer, but what happens if he dies not by natural causes? Someone kills him, or he dies in some sort of accident. Then, says the Avnei Nezer, it's not the Malach HaMoves. You don't need the Malach HaMoves over there. If someone has his head severed, you don't need the Malach HaMoves to come with his sword. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I think it's over, folks. So you don't need, the Malach HaMoves is only there in order to end it. But if it's ended, it's ended. So he says, over there, you don't have the reason the Malach HaMoves put the three drops of the poison inside of him, of the tum inside of him, because I don't need the Malach HaMoves to do it. It happened. If it was meis al yidei acher, if it was meis al yidei some, it was nerag, then the chayri, you don't have that reason, says the Avnei Nezer. What about? What about him? Yeah. You mean the Malach HaMoves had to kill him? That was the Malach HaMoves also having to kill him. I'm saying someone is neregai de acher. Someone kills him. Another person, a Baal Bechira, kills him. He's assuming that's not the Malach HaMoves. But sometimes the Malach HaMoves might have to cause some sort of like accident to happen, as Motcha is saying. Yeah. So he's assuming you don't need that. Now, he's going to assume you don't need that. This is going to be questionable, because listen to this, okay? This is where the question comes in. There's a Toras Chaim in Chulin. Toras Chaim says the following thing. He explains, why is it that we have to do shechita on a behemoth? Why can't we just eat an animal after it dies on its own? Says the Toras Chaim, the reason is because when an animal dies on its own, so then the Malach HaMoves is going to be more involved. Malach HaMoves. We know from the Gemara Baba Kama. The Gemara Baba Kama speaks about a person has an animal. The Gemara says, Malach HaMoves, Mali Hocha, Mali Hosam. So what does that mean? Who kills animals? Malach HaMoves doesn't just kill people, he also kills animals. Malach HaMoves, Mali Hocha, Mali Hosam. So you see that the Malach HaMoves is involved. And says the Torah Chaim, the Malach HaMoves is also involved. If the animal gets shot, even if he's killed by a person, unless you do a shechita, says the Malach HaMoves, says the Torah Chaim, then we're ki'ilu, killing the Malach, we're killing him with al yedei. It's here. Let's see his lashon. Then it's Gomar Yitzias Nishmasoi. Is Yitzias Nishmas is having happening Ali Day Yisrael. And therefore, if you shech the animal, therefore the animal is not Tame. But it sounds like that the Malach HaMavis is involved even when a person just dies without, even if someone's killing him. So I was thinking that the pshat perhaps is as follows. The Malach HaMavis has two weapons. One weapon he has is a sword, and the other weapon that he has is these three drops. What does he need the sword for? Oh, so one pshat is he needs the sword to make the neshama scared. He comes with a sword, and then he goes, ah, right? But I think he gets scared. I don't know, you see one big eye. I think you're pretty scared already. He needs a sword to scare him?
Must when somebody kills someone else.
What?
When somebody kills someone else, that's what the sword is for.
When someone kills someone else, not the drops. Oh, so I want to say the following thing. The drops are there in order to put in the tumah. But every time there's yitzias ha-neshama, how does the neshama get out of the guf? Through the cherev. The drops are there in order to cause that now the neshama wants out. But what's actually going to get the neshama out? The cherev. So the Malach HaMavis has two different things he used, two weapons. One of them is causing that the neshama wants to leave. The other one is pulls the neshama out of the guf. How does he get the neshama out of the guf? With the cherev. So where's the dam going to be? On the cherev. How does he get the neshama out of the guf? When he's doing it with these tipos of marashchar. So the fees there, I would like to suggest as follows. There's two different jobs to the Malach HaMavis. When the person dies through natural causes, the Malach HaMavis is using his drops. When the person dies because someone else killed him, but the neshama has to get out of the guf. Who pulls the neshama out of the guf? The Malach HaMavis through his cherev. So is the cherev involved even when a person is dying not only the Malach HaMavis? There's always the Malach HaMavis. He's not causing the neshama to come out, but he's pulling the neshama out. So the fizeh, we could explain. The Avnei Nezer said that that any time that a person dies, al yidei nereg al yidei acher, so then you don't have the tumah of the tumah from the Malach HaMavis. Yeah, because the tumah comes from the drops. So if he's nereg al yidei acher, there is no drops. But there's still going to be, the cher is still going to have the dam. So we go back to Miriam. We ask the question. Miriam died with Mises and Ashika. So why do they have to spill out all the water? She died with Mises and Ashika. The answer is, in a Hanami, she died with Mises and Ashika. So is there tumah when Miriam dies? Is she going to be metameh? Is it going to be that did the Malach HaMavis throw those drops inside of her goof and made her neshama jump out? No. But at the end of the day, the Malach HaMavis is the one that took the neshama out. That's his job. He takes out the neshama. So when the Malach HaMavis took the neshama out, where was the dam? The dam is on the cherev. So even by when a tzaddik dies, perhaps we have to spill out the blood, which would be the shayla of whether or not perhaps whether a tzaddik's neshama, a tzaddik's guf is going to be metama or not, could perhaps depend on this. We're saying that a Malach HaMavis is always involved in when a person dies. Is the Malach HaMavis involvement, does that automatically bring with it also an element of tumah? Or maybe the fact that it didn't have these drops that are putting the tumah in there, is that enough to say that it's not going to be tameh? This, as we said, is a machloikas, and a person should do as his minhag. Thank you for listening.